be well in attendance. It's good to see everybody that is here. We rejoice with those who are able to make it. Check in and pray for those who are not here. It's always good to be here with those who can, and we can certainly be uplifted as we're gathered together. Coincidence that the song that we just sung goes really well, going along right into the lesson this evening as we made the song's title, Dare to Stand Like Joshua. This evening, the lesson's title is, turn that on. Lesson's title is to take a stand. It's time to take a stand. Stand, it's a good point in that song, to stand like Joshua. Stand and be ready to declare our faith and to make it known that, you know, to your family that we're going to serve God, and to others, as Joshua was doing, trying to challenge Israel to do what is right, as, of course, his time was coming to an end, but they had a lot of work ahead of them to continue to do as they inherited this land of Canaan, that they were chasing out all the enemies of the Lord, and that they needed to live faithful in all the temptations that were about to come upon them, to take that stand and say, we will serve our God. And so I ask that you follow along as we go through the scriptures. We're Ephesians chapter 6. I believe most people probably know what these verses are talking about there in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, about putting on the armor of God. In verse 10, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against world of forces and darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, with the view of be alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and prayer on my behalf that the utterance may be given to me, and the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness and the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Brother Titius, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will make everything known to you. And so as we read through these scriptures, it goes forth about putting on the armor of God. But he talks about standing firm, being ready to stand our ground. So that's the first point I want to bring out this evening, is to stand firm. That we want to stand firm, as it brings out here in these verses, but we can bring these out also in others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 58, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and looking there, and in verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And so again, here, telling us to be steadfast, to be immovable, to be strong, to have grounded roots so that you can stand in place and not back down, but to stand strong and firm, ready and abounding in the work of the Lord. And as we do that, as we can grow our roots strong into the ground so that we are not easily swayed, easily pushed over, it brings out that our work, we'll know that our work is not in vain. We do not want to go backwards, but to continue to move forward, continue to grow stronger. In Galatians chapter 5, looking there and in verse 1, Galatians chapter 5, and looking there, and in verse 1, it reads here, it says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Again, as Jesus has died for us and we have gone to Him to wash our sins away,
Here he says he has freed us from that slavery. He has set us free so that we are no longer bound to these chains of sin, that we are going in the wrong direction, but yet we can stand firm not to go back into the old path. We want to continue in the right, continue to stand in the right path. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 4. And looking there in verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy crown, is my in this way stand firm in the Lord my beloved. And so again, here he calls them to stand firm in what needs to be done. And so we want to make sure that we are standing firm, and I want to go forth and bring out one thing about what we're standing against, right? As we think about take a stand, it's time to take a stand. What are we taking a stand against? Why are we taking a stand? What is it that we need to be alert for? And that's brought out there in the verses that we read in Ephesians chapter 6, that it says stand firm because there is the schemes or the wiles of the devil, the prince of darkness. We know that he's out there like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so therefore, that's why we need to make sure we take a stand. Because Satan is doing all that he can to drive us back, to make us fall into these temptations. And we got to be ready to stand against the devil, stand against Satan. And therefore, we have to be ready to stand against his schemes. The way he goes about it, Matthew chapter 7, in verse 15, if you will. Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And so we stand against wolves, with those ravenous wolves that come in sheep clothing. It says stand against them. They are false prophets. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 there tells us to test all spirits, to test them, to ask those questions, to confirm the truth and the word of God. And so we want to stand against these things, to stand against the schemes. This is Satan's tool, is using other people to cause division. And in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, Romans chapter 16, and looking there and in verse 17, if you will. Romans 16 and verse 17, it reads, it says, now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learn, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. And so again, we have to stand against them. As we keep an eye out, it says keep an eye out because those who are not expecting it, they will be deceived. They will be caused to stumble and to fall. And so we have to stand against them. We have to have leaders, men who are willing to step up and protect the flock from the wolf in sheep's clothing. That we want to make sure that we stand against these things. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 14, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and looking there and in verse 14. As it reads here and brings down, it says, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. And here it even says to take a special note, to mark that person. That way it is known, right? It's known among the brethren that this is someone who does not obey the word of God. This is someone who caused dissensions. This is someone who causes division. That just as, you know, we have things in our house, and you have food in your pantry, and it's labeled. You don't go in there and grab a can and just try to guess, I'm hoping that this is green beans and not corn, or I'm hoping that this is this and not that. They have labels. They are marked. We know what they are. When you go shopping for clothes, you go and you look at the labels to see what size it is so that you can buy the right size. They label them. So we know what they are. It's saying, do that here. Mark those. Label those who cause division. Label those who do not obey the word of God. Stand against those who do not follow the Lord. And therefore, if we're standing against Satan and those who would follow him, then we are standing with the Lord. We need to know that we're standing with God. Again, as you go through Ephesians chapter 6 and you read through that, it's telling us to what? Put on the whole armor of God. That you are putting on the armor of the Lord. It's God's armor. So we're standing with him. We are soldiers of Christ. We are standing with the Lord. He is our commander. He is our king. He is our master. He is the one that we are following. And so we stand with the Lord. Stand with our God. In Isaiah chapter 41 and in verse 10. Isaiah 41. And looking there and in verse 10. As it reads here, it brings out, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Here it says, we trust on God. Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. Don't look about and be scared. Trust in the Lord. It says, "I will be with you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand." Our God, our Lord, is there for us. It's just as, you know, Paul was making the case in Philippians chapter 4 that he could be content in all state, whether hungry or, full. Or whether he's dying of thirst or he has plenty of water, whether he's naked or he's clothed. And we often quote that Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." And that's what Paul's making it clear. Whatever state he's in, whether he is in prison or he is free, whether he is shipwrecked or he's on a safe sailing ship and he's got a good thing going, whatever state it may be, he stands with God. He stands with the Lord, so therefore he is in comfort. He is fine. He is okay with any situation that he's facing because he knows the Lord is with him. The Lord is on his side. That is what we read here, is that we need to trust in our Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, Deuteronomy chapter 31, and looking there and in verse 8, it says, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And so here, of course, we're getting towards the end of Deuteronomy, the end of the books of Moses. And Moses is about to depart, and so he's encouraging the children of Israel, but not only the children of Israel, but Joshua, just as we just saw, dare to stand like Joshua. And so he challenges them again there at the very beginning. Joshua chapter 1, and then there in verse 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We have a song in our hymn books, "Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with him, I am not afraid." We stand with the Lord. We stand with God. And so it's time to take a stand. Stand beside the Lord. Follow in his footsteps. We need to make sure that we do all that we can do to stand. Make sure you give it your all. Don't let it be that first time, you know, an infant trying to learn how to walk. When they first try to take the stand, they are going to fall down. But the way they learn to stand strong is that they keep on trying. They give it their all. They learn how to do it. We have to give it our all. Back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, it tells us to make sure that we do that. Ephesians 6, go ahead and read that verse again, verse 13. "Therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm." Having done all that you can. We have done everything that we can. We've searched the scriptures as we need to. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts 17 and verse 11. Checking and making sure that the truth is being taught no matter what. It says, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They received it eagerly. They were happy to receive it. They wanted to know it. And so they continued to search the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, to be diligent, to present yourselves approved unto God, a workman of God, able to rightly divide the word of truth, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there, you know, be diligent to present yourselves, study to present yourselves a workman of God. That we are going to put in the time searching the scriptures, because we know that that's where our faith comes from. There in Romans 10 and in verse 17, that it comes from hearing the word of God. Do all that you can. That means be willing to search the words of God. When we question God, God, why this? God, what should I do? God, help me here. Do we go to God, His words, to see what He has to say? To actually seek out what it is we can find through the words that He has given to us. Do we continue to pray to Him? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, there where it tells us to pray without ceasing. Or you go back to our scripture reading there that we started with in Ephesians 6, because as you get down there at the end, again, it says praying always. And then Paul asks them to even pray for him himself, that he is able to speak boldly as he ought to do. And so prayer, even after he goes forth and puts on the full armor of God, he says praying always. Making petition for our brethren, please pray for me. We need to make sure we still keep that relationship with our Father up above, with our Lord and Savior. Continue to pray to our God, seeking His guidance, looking to Him. But again, if we are going to stand firm, that means you need to put on Christ. If you have not done this, then you have not, you're not standing strong. You're not standing firm. This is when you truly take that stand, is when you put on the Lord. In Romans chapter 13, if you will. Romans chapter 13, and looking there, and in verse 12, it says, the night is almost gone, and the day is there. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not caressing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Put on the Lord. Put on the armor of light. When we do this, we do this when we are baptized into Christ. You're baptized into Him. You're raised up in newness. Just as He was resurrected, we put on the Lord. As many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And therefore, again, it tells us to put off all these things. Again, having done everything to make sure we're standing firm, to make sure that we enter into the kingdom of God, that we receive that home in heaven. Put off the works of darkness. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29, we're going to finish with this here. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. It reads here and it says, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off, throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of your parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And again, he's not speaking literally here that you need to go forth and cut your hands off. Go and eye gouge your eyes out. And just this past week, Jared and I went to Walmart, and we was in the fishing section, and the guy there gives me a really good example for this. He said he was a drunk in the past. He said, you know, I used to drink, because we asked if he did any fishing. He goes, no, I gave up fishing. And he said, I gave up fishing because every time I went fishing, I would drink. He goes, well, I gave up actually a lot of things. I gave up golfing. I no longer go golfing because every time I went golfing, we always had a cooler with alcohol. I gave up watching NASCAR because every time I sat down to watch racing, I was drinking. This man went forth and he explained a few other things that he gave up so that he could stop drinking. And that's giving it all to make that stand that you believe you need to take a stand in.
He understood that if he continued to do these other things, though you can do them without that, right? You know, I've never drank and fish. I've never drank and golf. I only golfed a couple times, but ask Terry. Terry golfs. And so, but you can do those things without it. But for him, it would be hard too. It's hard not to go back to the old ways, the old habits. And he was willing to give up, to cast those things aside, so that he could overcome that temptation that was there. And so whatever it is, your struggle might be, again, we all go through different things. Or we all have different weaknesses that you go through and that I go through. But if it's something that you can control, you can actually get out. You're like, this is the same thing. It comes at me every week. It comes at me every day. We might be able to change the environment that you're in so that that temptation is no longer there. And that's what he did. He changed his environment. He says, I'm no longer going to be in these situations so that I will no longer be tempted to drink. We need to do that with all sin. We need to say, this is where the places that causes me to eat, think evil thoughts. Is this the place where it causes me to want to lash out and swear and curse? Is this a place that causes me to lust? Is this a place that causes me to want to miss services? Then we need to say we need to get those things out of our lives and to separate ourselves from them so that that temptation is not there. And we've done everything we can to stand firm with the Lord so that we are ready for when Satan comes at us, that we'll be able to stand strong. And that when the battle is over, when the war is done, we'll be able to go to our God ready for His judgment. Ready for that reward to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into thy kingdom. So we want to extend the Lord's invitation to any who is here this evening that has not yet obeyed the gospel. If you're here and we can assist you in doing so, if you're here and we can pray for you or anything else, we let it be known. Stand.
Jesus loves me.